This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we are so happy to once again be joined by our contributor, the wonderful, the lovely, Joey. Welcome, Joey.
Yay.
Hello. Thanks
it's
for having
too
me.
It's been long.
It has. But super excited to be talking about TikTok once again. Happy to be back on.
Well, I'm very excited to learn about it. This is something I kind of know tangentially about because I've heard jokes about it. I have what I call TikTok friends, and they let me know about it. But I'm going to learn a lot today, so I'm counting on you. And I know you did a lot of research for this, and you have quite, you were talking about maybe a whole other other episodes that might come
from
it.
Well, we're gonna this was originally came to you guys with this, and it was sort of like, hey, let's do something about the whole like girl dinner, girl insert word trends. And then this very soon spiraled into a much bigger episode because I think there is something really weird happening on TikTok and just kind of online in general regarding femininity and womanhood and girlhood and feminism and all of these kind of big concepts. So I am calling this episode, my kind of working title I put in here was TikTok's crisis of femininity, because I think, and I specifically, you know, a white heterosexual cisgender femininity, but kind of what is presenting itself is this sort of general just crisis of femininity, using, of course, like pulling that from the term like crisis of masculinity, which is something that I think gets used a lot to talk about kind of historical moments and also contemporary stuff that often is just referring to conversations about masculinity and male identity in times when the sort of gender role system is being shaken up and is changing, and particularly how that's tied to like capitalism and the change in kind of workforce. And I think what's happening now, again, this is why I'm using this term crisis of femininity that I just assumed people had used before, and I hadn't actually found anyone using this, but I'm sure it's out there. Who's to say? But we're seeing this sort of weird repackaging of feminism and women's empowerment into a lot of very binary ideas of womanhood that are often rooted in these very like traditional gender roles and stereotypes. The kind of most obvious case and most like extreme case of this is like the trad wife movement and the stay-at-home girlfriend. And you guys just did a really great episode with Bridget about trad wives that I'm going to be referencing. But I think something that's also happening is this binary is really making its way into a lot of like much more mainstream expressions of like women's empowerment. that often like claim to be more progressive and seen themselves as more progressive. And then I think all of this is kind of happening as a response to a move away from this kind of like quote unquote girl boss feminism of the 2010s. And what's happening is we're kind of seeing that, yeah, the girl boss era kind of is over. It kind of didn't work in a lot of different ways. And in response, I think it's being replaced by this sort of feminism that, or perceived feminism that emphasizes consumerism and passivity. And I think it's important to talk about and have these conversations and have these conversations about how we're talking about girlhood and womanhood and femininity, because I think what's happening is sort of, it's just as kind of dangerous and it's just as like unproductive as like the whole girl boss movement was. And I think we're going to end up where we were kind of in like 2017, 2018, very soon if we don't sort of address what's happening here. So all of that's to say, I'm going to be talking about a lot of different trends here that I'm seeing happening up front. Just disclaimer, as I often say when I'm on this show, just because I'm criticizing all of these trends does not mean that you're like wrong or in the wrong for like enjoying these things. A lot of these things are sort of like fun on their own, have elements that I can see are empowering to people. But at the same time, that just makes it all the more important to look at them critically. So yeah, to start, a couple of weeks ago, I was on Instagram. And this was right around when I had pitched this episode to you guys. And I got this ad that came up that was for like a self-care company. I don't remember which one it was exactly. I really wish I'd saved this ad, but I did not. But yeah, it was like a self-care company that sells like candles and face masks and bath bombs and all of that. And in the ad, they used the term, quote, girl therapy to refer to the products that they were selling, which again, were like mostly just candles. and this like set off something in me because, you know, if you've been on the internet lately, you probably have seen there have been a lot of these trends. Like the first real big one was like girl dinner, but it's gone on into girl hobbies, girl math, but now apparently girl therapy, which, again, this was a company trying to sell candles. That's not therapy. you guys just did, posted a really great episode about the self-care industry that I will put in the notes because I think that kind of did a good job summing up a lot of those issues there. But yeah, this kind of set me on a spiral of looking at all of these girl whatever trends, which yeah, so first off, let's talk about girl dinner, which back in May, TikTok user Olivia Mayer made this TikTok about, quote, girl dinner. The original video is actually a joke about this idea of, like, quote, medieval peasant food, just being bread and cheese. And basically the video was her being like, that sounds great. That's my ideal meal. And then she says, this is my dinner. I call it girl dinner or medieval peasant. And then it just shows a bunch of, like, bread and cheese. Later on, TikTok user at KarmaPilled made a video going, this is my meal. I call it girl dinner. And then it's her singing girl dinner in a bunch of different fonts. And then that's the sound that really blew up. But it was like derivative of this original video. Interestingly, with that video, I didn't realize in it, she's holding what looks like a kind of like popsicle stick or something. Like it was like an ice cream bar. But yeah, that really took off over the summer and it led to now 232,800 videos under the girl dinner tag on TikTok. So the girl dinner trend, that in and of itself is complicated. And like, honestly, like originally that was going to be the whole episode. I kind of asked around different people like what they thought about this. And I definitely, there were some sort of positive interpretations of it. The one that I definitely kept hearing was like, oh, it's this kind of rejection of the idea that womanhood is all about homemaking. And it's about, you know, making these like perfect elaborate meals all the time. Like it's this trend that is sort of like, this is like girl dinner is just kind of like whatever you've got. And, you know, also something that was interesting was early on, I think a lot of people were showing, you know, meals that weren't traditionally things you would associate with like girlhood, you know, a lot of like, especially again, off of the sort of girl boss era. Like a lot of it was very much rooted in like diet culture and stuff. And these sort of videos were showing more anti-diet culture type meals, like more kind of a lot of like junk food and stuff like that. That being said, the problem is once you make a trend and you put it out into the world, you kind of lose control of it over it. And what we started to see was a lot of people using that sound and using the kind of girl dinner thing to show essentially what are just like signs of eating disorders or, you know, promotion of kind of these unhealthy habits. So that was the first sort of thing that happened with that. And then the other was this sort of girl dinner trend turned into all of these different things like girl math, girl hobbies, girl rotting. Basically, like taking the word girl and then attaching it to another miscellaneous thing. And by putting the word girl in front of it, it was kind of giving it this like lighter, unserious tone.
Wait, I need to understand what girl rotting is because I've heard everything else. What the fuck is girl rotting?
Girl rotting. We're going to get to this. So, okay. I'm going to go over these real quick.
That point. Okay, yeah.
So just to talk about, I'm going to get there, Samantha, don't
okay,
worry.
Okay, okay. I need answers to all of these things. I'm like, what?
Yeah. But to kind of point to this sort of overall trend, there was an article in Forbes that said, quote, girl trends predate TikTok itself. In 2019, rapper Megan Thee Stallion popularized the body positive slogan, quote, hot girl summer, which became an internet meme largely through Twitter and Instagram. Quote, being a hot girl is about being unapologetically you, having fun, being confident, living your truth, being the life of the party, etc. The rapper posted in July, and the phrase inspired the title of her song, Hot Girl Summer, which released that August. Its legacy can be seen in some of the TikTok girl trends. And then, yeah, so this article points to like hot girl block, girl dinner, all of these different things. Another kind of article talking about this was from Business Insider, in which they said, quote, Gen Z is reclaiming the word girl after years of reckoning over people using the term to infantilize women. The fact that women are using the term girl represents a cultural reclamation, conscious or not, after years of reckoning over the term sexist use. Being called a girl, especially in hierarchical settings like a workplace, can be unintentionally patronizing at best and demeaning at worst. And so, yeah, like, I totally agree. I think, like, there obviously is, like, a very heavy misogynist connotation of being called a girl with, like, things that are associated with girlhood. And I think it is interesting that this kind of has been the response to the fact that, like, this idea of, like, the girl boss and girl boss feminism sort of failed and sort of didn't really work out.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This is where I think it is important to look at what these actual trends are doing and promoting. And Samantha, this is where I'm going to get to your question of what is girl rotting? Because, yeah, it's for one thing, obviously, like if we're rooting this back in like hot girl summer, hot girl walk, that's one thing. Girl dinner, that was sort of the like nexus point of like something that I think started very innocently and started as kind of like a fun thing that took a very dark turn. Going back to that Business Insider article, later on, there's a quote that says, the past few years of girl-based trends, as Kate Lindsay noted in Internet Culture Newsletter Embedded earlier this week, have shifted. While women were once girl bossing, they're now talking about rotting in their bedrooms. As Lindsay writes, these types of trends are a counterpoint to the idealized girl aesthetics of the 2020s. And in the process, they plucked and pulled apart the concept of girlhood through internet memes. Despite some of these trends being pretty mundane, that's actually important. Reducing a girl to a series of increasingly feral behaviors removes some of the term's baggage. So, yeah, like what this quote is saying is that, like, it's sort of rejecting this idea of, like, girlhood being A, not taken seriously, and B, kind of rejecting the idea of, like, the girl boss and the very manicured, very, like, put together idea of girlhood. But also, I think it raises, this quote kind of raises a lot of red flags about this whole kind of girl trend. Where, yes, it is kind of a response to the fact that girl boss feminism kind of failed. It ended up sort of promoting this very, like, unattainable, exhausting idea that was very much rooted in capitalism. So it's promoting the opposite. Girl rotting is the idea that, like, yeah, you're going to come home from work and you're just going to, like, lay in bed and watch TV and you're going to girl rot. You're not going to. And it's kind of repackaging it as a way of, like, oh, this is just part of girlhood. You're girl rotting. Which, I don't know. To me, I'm like, maybe there's a bigger problem there we need to talk about.
Wait, are we talking about being stressed, well, depression?
Right.
Like, it's conditional things that happen. Like, is that what we're calling a girl rotting to make it cute? And hopefully, right. Like,
to me,
fix
I hear
it?
That. And I'm like, that's a symptom of depression, or, like, maybe that is, like, a bigger, again, if we're talking about all these things being a response to the fact that, like, girl boss feminism, you know, just sort of ended up perpetuating a lot of these really toxic hyper-capitalist ideas. If girl rotting is the opposite of that, you haven't solved the problem. You're still being exhausted by the system. Yeah. So that one was weird. Gonna pivot to girl math real quick too, because girl math was the other one that I think really started to be like, all right, guys, what are we doing? So from a Washington Post article about girl math, they say, quote, "There's no need to have a moral panic about the trend," says Dan Egan, vice president of behavioral finance and investing for Betterment, a digital investment advisory firm. Egan says, "What's at play is psychology. And it's obvious this has nothing to do with gender. Kidding aside, girl math represents the type of mental accounting many people do, guys included. It's how we compartmentalize financial decisions. It's also how we justify overspending," end quote. So yeah, girl math is basically this idea of, like, there's all these videos being like, oh, if you're paying for something with cash, it's girl math. It doesn't matter if it's, like, you know, you and your friends going out to dinner and you're just Venmoing each other back and forth for, like, the same cycle of meals. It's not real money because you're, like, basically just, like, paying each other back and forth, which, like, I get it. And again, that quote is saying, like, this is something that everybody does. It's just psychology. It's just kind of how we, like, think about spending. Why are we putting girl in front of it, though? Like, what is the message there? Are we just sort of saying, like, oh, it's girl math because girls can't do math? Girls can't, like, understand finances? And, like, so later on in that article, they talked to another financial expert, Kia McAllister-Young, the director of America Saves. And unlike the first person that they interviewed, this person's actually a woman, which I don't know. I think that's interesting. But she calls the trend, quote, amusing. And, like, her only sort of concern is this idea of, like, yeah, it's fun, but, like, let's make sure this isn't how we're doing all of our budgeting. Like, it's important to also budget. But, like, that's kind of the point, is I'm like, yeah, no, if we're admitting that this isn't a good way of budgeting, this is sort of a fun, silly thing. Why are we so insistent on attaching it to girlhood, on attaching it to this gender binary? And then so the last sort of trend that I want to talk about in this, these girl whatever trends is, and this is the one that I think kind of was a marker to me that this kind of trend is ending and it's sort of starting to reach its downfall, is this idea of, quote, like, girl hobbies. So there was a TikTok that went viral, and I'm not going to say the person's username for this because I have nothing good to say about this TikTok. But basically, it was it was presenting this idea of, like, girl hobbies, and it was basically saying, "Oh, if you think you don't have any hobbies, no, you just have girl hobbies." And they listed girl hobbies as grabbing a little treat, coffee or pastry, doing our skincare, makeup, hair routines, reorganizing instead of sleeping, hot girl walk, social media investigative work, shopping, in store or online. And so, like, this video went viral and immediately like met a bunch of vets. Like a bunch of people did stitches of it, kind of being like, whoa, like what's going on, guys? TikTok user Taylor Jade, who uses the at Raylot, posted a response that blew up that I think kind of summarizes it very well. She says, "What is going on? What are we saying? Those are not hobbies. What is going on with this infantilization brain rot trend that has grown women saying, no, I don't need hobbies or a personality because I'm a teenage girl and I have to get coffee and a little treat and go shopping." And then she later goes on to say, which I think is another good point, "I know everybody who says, maybe it's kind of harmful to identify ourselves with extremely sexist stereotypes gets called a pick-me. Well, guess what? I love Charlotte Tilbury, Contour Wand, and Hot Pink Stanley just as much as you guys do. However, I have my own thoughts and opinions and feelings and ambitions and goals and dreams and interests and hobbies and personality outside of consumerist bullshit." So, yeah, this is what I think this particular video, the girl hobbies video, and all of the backlash signals to me that we're kind of like beyond the peak of this. I think people are starting to realize like it's going a little too far. But also, yeah, let's talk about this, because what are the things that she's calling girl hobbies? Shopping, doing makeup, skincare, all of the, like, we literally just took the like women be shopping and put it in a different font and like repackaged it in a way that, so it's kind of like, if the original argument is that we're reclaiming this idea of girlhood and we're taking, you know, reclaiming the idea of femininity and girlhood, is that actually what's happening? Or are we just reinforcing these kind of stereotypes? And it, what, like, what is the benefit of also then really, really emphasizing this gender binary, this idea that all of this is just, this is just part of girlhood? All of these sort of very consumerist, very passive ideas are a part of girlhood.
I just want you to know that all of these hobbies you listed off was all on our Girl Talk theme, so they are hobbies.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. No, they-
1989.
Right. Well,
it literally lists off every single one of those things.
Why? Exactly. That's what I'm saying, though. It's like, what happened, guys? Like, this is the kind of 1980s, like, oh, yeah, literally, it's women be shopping in a different font. What's happening?
And also, to note, all of this makes... these are million-dollar industries that we're talking
these
about.
These are exactly, right? Which the other part of this is, I think it's interesting that this is like, and I've said, I think this is a response to the fact that a lot of people felt that like girl boss feminism didn't work. So instead of like becoming the CEO, becoming the, you know, woman that's really like winning in the capitalist financial spirit, now it's just become about consuming and about consuming the things. And I think this kind of is where it led me to look at this, not just as like its own kind of trend of girl dinner, girl math, girl hobbies, et cetera, but like, let's also look at the other sort of conversations that are happening around girlhood and around womenhood and femininity and feminism on TikTok. So this is where we're going to go into the second kind of silo here in my big conspiracy board of all of these different trends that are happening, which is the cycle of fast fashion micro trends that are happening on TikTok, and this idea of like the quote, like aesthetic. If you're somebody like me who has been very chronically online, you'll know that this word like aesthetic and the idea of having an aesthetic is not like a new thing. And so, like, when I'm talking about aesthetics, it's not really, in an online sense, it's not really, like, the traditional definition of the word. Usually, it is referring to, like, a personal sense of style that's really tied to fashion and appearance, and kind of, like, your just, like, general household decor, room decor kind of stuff. I always really associate it with, like, kind of 2014-era Tumblr. It was, like, a big thing to have, like, your very curated aesthetic. So yeah, again, it's not like necessarily a new thing, but I think in a post kind of 2020 world where like TikTok has become this like major hub for like culture, the whole idea of having an aesthetic has really like taken off. And it's moved away from sort of being a personal sense of style to just being a way to describe this sort of series of trends that are happening. And these trends that have also been happening at like an ever kind of quickening pace and have become more and more connected to the fast fashion industry. So yeah, if you've been on TikTok, you know the most recent kind of iteration of this has been the mob wife trend, which was its own sort of chaos. That was really funny. I am Italian American. I thought all of the drama around that was really funny. But yeah, so we have the mob wife trend. Some previous kind of aesthetic trends that have happened have been the clean girl, old money, coastal grandma, rock star girlfriend, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the personal bane of my existence, I could do a whole episode about this, but the coquette trend.
I know none of these. I feel very old right now. Except for the mob wife.
I knew the mob wife for it. Everybody was freaking out.
I think like it's this and then it's the same thing with girl hobbies where there's one thing that kind of sets it off and has everybody being like, what's going on? What are we doing? So yeah, a lot of the time, not all the time, but usually these kind of aesthetics are tied to like kind of a callback to an earlier subculture. But instead of really being rooted in that subculture, being rooted in like the cultural aspect of it, it's much more focused on like consumable goods like fashion and, you know, yeah, just like household decor kind of stuff. But yeah, really, really emphasizing fashion. And we've also seen in a like post kind of lockdown, post 2020 world, the like takeoff of the fast fashion industry, and which, you know, had been a thing for a while, but it really, really kind of reached some new heights in the sort of post 2020 world. We've seen these brands like Shein really take off. And this has been like perfect sort of, like it's been this perfect storm for these trends to happen and for these trends to happen at a faster and faster pace. So what has happened is having an aesthetic has kind of moved away from being a personal sense of style, and it has instead become keeping up with the latest trend, keeping up with the latest sort of hyper-specific micro trend. The clean girl, the rock star girlfriend, the mob wife, the whatever, yeah, and coquette, which is, yeah, I have a lot of things to say about coquette. Yeah, so, and so this is where I think there's two concerning things here. One is that, yes, this is very tied to fast fashion, and it is very tied to these corporations that are relying on sweatshop labor, that are relying on all these sort of very terrible practices, both on a humanitarian level and on an environmental level. And then also, we need to look at what is actually being kind of like promoted in these trends. Because, well, again, yes, it is fun to have like a fun little aesthetic that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to have any meaning to it. There are some sort of connecting threads through all of this that I think are a little bit concerning. So like mob wife, rock star girlfriend, these were two that really stuck out to me because I was like, why? It's so weird that they're emphasizing the like girlfriend. You're not the thing, but you're the girlfriend of the rock star. You're the mob wife. Coquette. Like, let's be real. The coquette trend is rooted in a like kind of cult around youth and in a lot of these very like pedophilic ideas about beauty and women's beauty. It is like rooted in like the kind of Lolita trends. And again, that's to say, like, you can enjoy this sort of stuff and this sort of fashion and not have it not be that serious. But this becoming as popular as it is and being something that is very much rooted in a lot of like very misogynistic ideas about beauty, that gets a little bit concerning. And then sort of we're seeing some other micro trends that I think are interesting. I don't understand what these are still, but there was like the tomato girl and the pickle girl and whatever. And something that I was seeing happen over and over again is all of these are, they're very much rooted in like girl, clean girl, mob wife, girlfriend, all of these things. They're very much rooted in this like gender binary. And a lot of times they are like expressions of hyperfemininity. You know, coquette is like really leaning into hyperfemininity. Even the mob wife trend like leans very much into hyperfemininity. So I think it's interesting to, and one of those articles that I was talking about originally that we're talking about girl math and girl hobbies and all of this, we're talking about how it's a rejection of these kind of constant trends But at the same time, these sort of trends are also rooting themselves in this idea of girlhood and femininity. And this is what it is to be a woman. This is what it is to be a girl.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So this is where I'm going to jump in and like just acknowledge the fact that I personally don't identify as a woman. I identify as like non-binary and genderqueer and transmasculine. But that being said, I think like that is kind of the thing that makes this really stand out to me, because all of these trends are so, so rooted in the gender binary and in emphasizing the gender binary. And I think especially at a time where there have been so many violent efforts to reinforce that gender binary, I think we need to be really critical about how we are actually talking about those ideas and talking about something as, you know, supposedly silly as just like your whatever personal sense of style, a fashion trend, but how are we talking about that in terms of like the gender binary? And so to really look at that, let's talk real quick about like the extreme version of this gender binary, which is the trad wife. And you guys just did a really awesome episode with Bridget about trad wives and trad wife culture that I would definitely recommend checking out. I'm not going to go super into this idea because I think like I'm definitely preaching a little bit to the choir here about like why the whole idea of the trad wife and the trad wife image is harmful. I think we need to look at why we're seeing this trend now and what it's claiming to be a response to versus like what it actually kind of is a response to. Because honestly, I think this whole like trad wife ideal and image is rooted in a lot of the same anxieties that these other trends are also rooted in. Because the trad wife phenomena is kind of posing it, what it does is it poses itself as in opposition in response to girl boss feminism, right? It is this idea that women, we have somehow been duped by feminism into going into the workforce, and really what is empowering is to go back into the homes and, you know, get married and pop out a bunch of kids and provide for those kids and whatever, like all of that. And I think if you look at, again, the whole idea of like girl rotting, girl math, girl hobbies, all of that is also a response to the fact that a lot of women did not feel fulfilled by girl boss feminism. So TikTok user Caitlin, it's C-A-I-T-L-Y-N with like a period in between each letter. I'll link the original video in the notes, but she made a really great video, I think, breaking this down and connecting a lot of these things that I'm talking about, and talking about it in the context of the trad wife movement. So in a video called Coquette Capitalism, which I will link in the notes, she starts by quoting a tweet from fashion and culture writer Ryan Finn that states, "Bows and ribbons are symbolic of 2023 being the year of the girl plus useless thing, when it should have been the year of the girl feminism. Instead, we've had the Barbie film rebranding girl boss culture through uplifting successful billionaire capitalist women, girl math being used to advertise at the same time that reproductive rights are being stripped. The gender wage gap is awful, and we lack a globally interconnected feminist movement." And the bows and ribbons, that sort of trend is related to the coquette trend, just for context. And this is why I'm critical of that argument that, like, girl dinner and girl math and girl whatever, it's somehow, like, reclaiming this idea of girlhood and femininity, which had previously not been taken seriously by the patriarchy. Because we need to look at what is actually being claimed as part of girlhood. Caitlin then goes on to talk about how, in addition to the popularity of, like, the coquette trend and this return to more, like, girlish aesthetics, very traditional feminine aesthetics, which was all these aesthetic trends I was talking about, quote, 2023 was also the year of girl math, and girl math was juxtaposed against the male Roman Empire, where in pretty overt ways we're saying through pop culture and memes that girls can't do math, or girls have their own special kind of math called girl math. Meanwhile, boys, or men, are constantly thinking about history. They're thinking about the Roman Empire. She then says, quote, "This happening in the same year as the rise of the stay-at-home girlfriend, the soft life, and the sprinkle-sprinkle," which all of that I'm kind of putting under the, like, trad wife umbrella, because I think the stay-at-home girlfriend is sort of the, like, more secular, slightly less Christo-fascist version of the trad wife. But yeah, quote, "The implicit argument behind all of these being that contemporary feminism has failed to provide women with material well-being. The real way to undermine the patriarchy or to make the patriarchy work for you is to get a rich man to fund your lifestyle and never have to work again. So we're seeing in real time the infantilization of women through pop culture and memes. The image of the girl boss or girl power of 5 to 10 years ago in the early to mid 2010s is dead, particularly as many of these women-owned millennial core companies like Nasty Gal and Glossier experience their corporate downfall." And honestly, like, yeah, I agree. I think that she's onto something there. So she then goes on to say, "We've ended up with bimbo feminism and girl math, not because women believe that they themselves are stupid, but because they're tired. And because the promise of girl boss feminism that we've seen for the last several decades didn't deliver. The reason that girl boss feminism wasn't successful in challenging the patriarchy was because it was not anti-capitalist, and instead it viewed capitalism as an avenue through which women could find liberation. For the vast majority of women who belong to the working class and have to continue to go to work in order to pay their bills and survive in capitalist society, girl boss feminism did nothing for them, except maybe replace their boss or their CEO with a woman in a pantsuit. The material conditions of the vast majority of women didn't change as a result of girl boss feminism. And after several years of significant material challenges, including the pandemic and shrinkflation, it's no wonder why people might want to retreat back into, I'm baby and I just want to be taken care of. Unfortunately, this is just a band-aid or a short-term coping mechanism to larger structural problems of capitalism and patriarchy," end quote. So to sum it up, I think it's not a coincidence that we're saying the trad wife, stay-at-home girlfriend, girl insert word trend, and, like, highly binary fashion trends all happening on TikTok right now. I think this is all kind of a response to this crisis of femininity and the fact that, like, the world is a very, very scary place right now. Like, one of the things that she said in that is that I get it. It is, like, there's a lot of really weird, messed up stuff happening. We are entering an election year. There are so many scary possibilities and realities that are happening, particularly for women and for non-men. And so it makes sense to want to seek that comfort, to want to go back into this idea of, like, self-infantilizing, I'm just a girl, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm the whole I'm just a 24-year-old teenage girl thing. I think especially for a lot of us that are at, like, you know, I'm in my mid-20s right now, the pandemic happened at a time when I would have been reaching a lot of those, like, milestones. And that sort of experience is sort of disrupted for me. I think a lot of people are feeling sort of lost. And I think all of these things are responses to that feeling of being lost. And it's understandable, but it is not a solution. It is a band-aid I think the importance of talking about this right now is that if we lean too hard on all these ideas, if we lean too hard on this idea of girlhood being silly and light and this very like consumerist idea of girlhood, it's just going to end up, we're just going to end up the same place that we were in like 2017, 2018, where people were starting to realize that like the girl boss feminism also didn't work. So yeah, I think, again, there's two main concerns here. One is this sort of leaning into consumerism as a form of liberation or self-actualization. The second is this really, really strong emphasis on the gender binary and on everything being very, very gendered, whether that's something like, you know, food, which is what we need to survive, to hobbies and fashion and all of that. All of that happening at a time when there is efforts to criminalize any sort of deviance from the gender binary. So yeah, all of that is to say, these are all very, there's a lot of weird stuff happening. There's a lot of weird stuff happening on TikTok. I don't know what the solution is. I understand why this moment is happening. I understand what these things are responding to, but I also think it is indicative of the fact that something is like very wrong right now and people are just kind of scrambling for solutions. And yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
There's a lot
to it. Obviously, like I'm sitting here trying to remember any of these trends. I'm like, I'm on TikTok and I don't know these three things. And I'm so sad that I'm not caught up with the world / the kids. You kids.
You know what? I don't even, like, I don't know if I can still call myself a kid, but I'm not a kid.
You're not.
That's the whole point of this. I'm not.
I'm saying this, but in this ideal of, like, I feel real old.
That's part of it, is that all of this stuff is moving very fast. And I think that is definitely an element of it. All of these trends are moving very fast. These ideas are moving fast. These idealized images of womanhood or of girlhood are moving very fast. And, you know, like you said before, that is very convenient for a lot of these companies that are making this clothing or this whatever, or these candles for girl therapy or whatever, you know. And again, this is why I keep going back to capitalism and what happens when we look at capitalism as a route for liberation, because we tried that with the girl boss feminism and it didn't work. And now we're trying a different route, which is through consumption and through consumerism. And that also is something that I think we're already seeing it start to kind of fall apart. And I think it could lead us in a very dangerous direction. And also, capitalism is always going to have an interest in upholding the gender binary. You know, like, it is easier to sell things to people if they are very highly gendered. It's easier to advertise things that are, this is about girlhood, this is about whatever. So there definitely like needs to be some more sort of critical thinking, I think, around gendering all of these ideas so, so explicitly.
Well, it's also just a reminder that capitalism and marketing know how to take advantage of something. And so they're going to make money whichever way possible. But I think it's also important to remember that things like Girl Boss, which seemed cute and empowering at the beginning, really, when it did benefit women, it was white heterosexual women. Mm-hmm. Kind of some conversations about what happened with Facebook and having big books written about motivating women to be leaders. It was aimed and targeted towards one specific type of woman, which also is that same conversation of like, when women talk about, why can't we go back to the days where we didn't have to work, feminism failed us, when in actuality, yes, white feminism failed you. Because if we had actually looked at the Black community and the people of color during the big waves of feminism in the 70s, we would have a different conversation about choice rather than about work and not being what they would say housewife and all that. And there's that conversation of who was left out and who was not being seen. And that's in this same conversation too, because when we talk about mm-hmm. cute girly things, it's typically white women that I see, or white girls. And it's a cute idea for a minute. Then you start thinking about the repercussions of, because people see this as cute and just a fun trend, you don't see the underlying thing of like, oh, eventually this will be used against whomever in this ideal of, okay, we can fix ourselves. We become more like these people in doing these girl dinners, which every time you say that, that jingle girl is in dinner. My head. Like, I can't get rid of it.
Constantly,
every time. And that forever will be in my head. But like who it is benefiting and what the ideal type or like lifestyle is. And it's usually trended after, again, cis, upper middle class white women. And that's that conversation of like, yeah, this doesn't seem bad. But then when you really look at who is being normalized and who is being upheld as this is the status quo, it's very dangerous, mm-hmm. as you were saying.
Yeah. And I, like what I said at the top too, been talking about girl dinner. I think it is something that started totally innocently. I think it honestly, like I understand the arguments for why people enjoyed it. But once you put a trend out there into the world, like you lose control of it. I think like the last kind of big example of this was the whole like bimbo trend and bimbo feminism on TikTok. And like that is something that when it started, like I was like, oh my God, I love this. This is so fun. I think a lot of the early kind of creators around that were doing some really fun content, but it was something that, you know, A, was co-opted by these corporations that were like, oh, look, another opportunity to sell a certain type of clothing or whatever to people, sell a lifestyle to people. And then also, if it's an idea that is rooted in very misogynistic stereotypes, like the idea of like the bimbo, reclaiming something can turn into just reinforcing those stereotypes real quick. And I think we're seeing that now with all these girl trends.
Right. And also with that, we should be holding social media responsible as well, because we see who is trending. And that makes a difference of why these trends are successful. And again, it's also kind of like that whole fact that a lot of Black creators will talk about the fact that their stuff is suppressed, while cutesy white girls, and I love y'all white girls, so please don't think I'm being mean, but it, like statistically, as it's shown, that the cutesy white girls are probably going to be at the forefront of trending, not just white girls, but white people in general. So just spreading that out. But like that's that conversation is like, are we also talking about what social media is allowing to be the top of the trend, and why is the top of the trend, and who is being suppressed in these conversations as well? Because, you know, there's a lot to the algorithm, but also algorithm that is created or manipulated by these companies. You know, Instagram and Facebook has been repeatedly called out for that, and TikTok is slowly getting repeatedly called out for that. But it's a conversation in this as well, because yes, that girl had no intention, I'm sure, of like making this. She's probably like, why are y'all talking about me? I just wanted to eat cheese and bread, and I feel you. That's all I want to do is eat cheese and bread. But like in the end, who is being raised on these platforms, or who's being more noted or being seen more often.
Exactly.
And in that conversation as well. But also, I still need you to explain to me what Coquette is. I'm still lost.
Oh, I... this is... Yeah, I probably shouldn't have included a little thing about that.
So confused.
I might come on here and do a whole episode about all of my various issues with Coquette. Coquette is one of those things where, again, I think... when we talk about, you know, criticizing a sort of cultural thing, if this is a, you know, type of fashion or style that you are interested in, if something that you like, totally understand that. But at the same time, I think we really need to examine like what a lot of it is rooted in. Coquette is basically, this is the other problem, because the thing that happens on TikTok with a lot of these trends is they start off as one thing and then they just become like much broader. And like, I think Coquette is definitely like, I saw something the other day that was like a bunch of very like grunge style clothing that somebody called Coquette, and that is not Coquette at all. But Coquette is basically, it's rooted in like stuff that is, hang on, I'm trying to find like a good definition of it, because I'm looking at like the pictures. Yeah, it's all very, it's like pink and a lot of bows, and it's rooted in this idea of like girlhood and childhood.
So is this like a pastel version of the Lolita?
Right. That's a good way of putting it. It's like pastel Lolita fashion. It is the whole kind of trend is very connected to like the Lolita trend, which again, that's where I get into. I think it is important to examine how some of this is kind of rooted in these very like these cults of youth, and particularly around like young girls and girlhood and how that is sexualized. It became very pop. Yeah, at the end of 2023, this became like very, very popular on TikTok. If you guys saw, there are a lot of like videos of people putting bows on like everyday objects and being like, my favorite one was somebody took like a pair of like weights and like put a bow on them and was like, they're coquette now. Like, but again, like with that, it's fun and it's silly. But also, anytime we're using a trend that is or a idea that is like rooted in a lot of complex, mildly problematic, you know, to extremely problematic ideas, it just opens the door for a lot of stuff to happen. Yeah,
I got you. And yes, and I see that it is aligned with that conversation about soft girl.
Yeah. Which I think also, I mean, what you said about like all of these trends also being like, you know, when you look at them up on TikTok, when you see the stuff that's trending on TikTok, a lot of the times it's white women. A lot of the times it is like conventionally attractive cis white women. Yeah, that's also part of the conversation. And that is also part of like the idea of, you know, if this is the image of girlhood that we're creating, if this is the image of womanhood that we're creating, it's very white. It's very much rooted in traditional ideas about beauty, and it's definitely, it's rooted in whiteness, it's rooted in heteropatriarchy, it's rooted in trans misogyny. Yeah, and that again is an issue of like the apps more than I think it is these individual creators.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
One thing that I did think was interesting that I did not realize this. So the original Girl Dinner, the person that did the video that was like Girl Dinner or medieval peasant food or whatever, which I didn't even realize that was how it started. That was made by a white woman. The woman that did the one with the little song with the like girl dinner, that was actually a black woman that did it, that made the original video, but again, I think about this conversation was interesting because I had not seen that original video until I like went and looked it up and was like, who is the first person to like make that sound? So I don't know. Maybe there's definitely something there too, but
yeah. Maybe the original I saw was also a white girl, then that's who got accredited, who got credited with it for what I've seen.
That's what I'm saying is that she got the credit for it, which she did, you know, make the original video using the term girl dinner. But yeah, like it took me much longer to find out who made the song. Yeah.
The jingle.
The jingle.
It's a jingle in my head. And also now I want meat and cheese.
You can make that happen. I think you can make that happen.
I'm going to have to go to a grocery store.
Oh. Well, I do think there's a lot more we could talk about. There's a lot of, I've been thinking about this a lot too, about the, well, I'm not on TikTok, so this was all new to me. But I've been thinking a lot about the idea of, because the first episode I ever did was Bad Feminism. And it was about like, if you're not a perfect feminist, then you're not a feminist. But now I feel like we've gone in the other way, which is like,
you don't have to do anything to be a feminist. It's the other extreme. It's the other extreme. You could be spend your day girl rotting in bed, and that's feminism.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I get it in terms of, let's be honest about what is killing us with this trying to succeed. But at the same time, like, if you're just like, doing this, that's not the same thing.
Right. There needs to be a middle ground, I think, is the big thing here.
Like, you can say, like, I'm not the perfect feminist, but that doesn't mean you can be like, oh, well, I'm not the perfect feminist. Like, that, there's a difference between that. So I would love for you to come back, and I could tell that you're...
Yeah, and something that I think is interesting, too, just to add one more quick thing in there. So, and I brought up this term in talking about one of the TikToks earlier, but the idea of like any sort of criticism of these trends, you're labeled a pick me. And I think, so the podcast Rehash did a really good episode about the idea of a pick me and kind of how that term has evolved. But I think the whole idea of what a pick me is has also like kind of derailed on TikTok and on social media. And it has become like any sort of rejection of hyperfemininity gets you labeled as a pick me. Like saying, like, it even got so far as to people, you know, when the whole like Barbieheimer thing was happening, it was like, oh, if you're like not excited to go see the Barbie movie, you're like a pick me. And it's like, I don't know, like people just have different tastes in movies sometimes. That doesn't really seem like a reason to be. Yeah. Or like women that don't want to wear makeup. I don't identify as a woman either, but like, I don't really wear makeup. That's not because I think there's something inherently wrong with wanting to wear makeup. That's a personal choice. That does not make me a pick me, because that is not something that like I want to do. But yeah, I think that is interesting in when we're talking about these sort of returning to these very, very extreme binary ideas of what womanhood is. Any sort of rejection of that femininity gets you labeled as pick me, which I think is interesting and concerning.
Yeah.
Yes. So again, there's many, many things here that I will probably be back on to talk about.
Please.
But yeah.
Yeah, we might need you back on just to explain trends to us, to be honest.
Honestly, that'd be great, because
that might be just a Monday mini. I'm like, I'm going to send you these. Explain these to me.
I'm so down. I like barely understand half of these. But if somebody seriously, like, what is going on with the whole like pickle girl, tomato girl thing? If somebody wants to explain to me what that means.
I have a theory about tomato girl.
Tomato girl?
They just not like pickles or tomatoes?
No. It's pro pickles and tomatoes.
Okay.
Well, I'm probably way off.
I wonder if the tomato girl has something to do with the girl that came on saying that tomatoes make you fat. And then everybody got mad at her.
Oh, that could be right. You're probably right.
But I don't know. That's what I think. Remember. Like, that was a huge thing.
I was going to go back into the history where people used to call hot girls tomatoes. That's where hot tomato came from.
Really?
It was
maybe
a whole thing.
That's, yeah. I
think you're right, Samantha. That makes way more sense.
I don't know, but yours makes more sense.
Well, I mean, mine makes more logical sense.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Makes sense.
Yours makes more sense. Mine is just more timely.
Yes,
yeah,
yours
mine's
is more
timely.
We, you know, this is what is the magic of our team is that we all come from different angles. We none of us know the answer, but we all have theories.
I know there's a pickle person who pickles everything and sells on the basis you can pickle anything. That's the only pickle person I know.
Find the pickle is also a food trend, you know?
You know.
We're going off the rails. We're the ones off the rails.
My stuff is completely literal, so I'm hungry, apparently. The stomach has been growling the entire time, so.
Oh, no. Well,
time to have some girl dinner.
Yeah, I need girl dinner. Just keep going.
These questions must be answered, Joey. We need you.
I think we need you back on. First, we have to have you research those things.
Yeah.
Do you know, actually? Did you say you did know? Did we cut you off? Is that what a pickle girl and a tomato girl are?
Oh, well, it has more to do with, and this is where, these are ones I'm like, I'm not as concerned. I think these are more just like fun little trends people are doing, but it's like tied to, it is still very much tied to like aesthetics and like how you're dressing, how you're doing your makeup, all of that. I just don't exactly know what it is because what is tomato? How does that translate into fashion? But
I think Annie's more on than I am.
1920s
then.
Tomato girl. Hot tomato.
According to People magazine, it says being a tomato girl calls for a hyper specific wardrobe to must have pieces include picnic appropriate dresses, flowy linen pants, headscarves, woven handbags, and more. The trend is also big on patterns, whether it be Jim Cham. I'm sorry,
yeah,
guys. I'm not
talking.
A fashion Ganger, person. Yeah. I don't want to say that. Or pinstripe. Or pinstripe eyelets or florals, and of course artsy food graphics. So again, it is like it's tied to fashion, like fashion trends. Tomato girls
gingham?
More about.
Mm-hmm.
Gingham.
Okay.
Gingham.
That is an old school. Okay, I think that's 1920s, and I think you're right, Annie.
Right, I was gonna say that, but I think it's like all of these images are very like going for a picnic, going to like this like old fashioned. But yeah, it is interesting that all of these kind of micro identities that we've created for ourselves are all very, very rooted in consumerism, in buying things to show our sense of self.
Yes. Identity. You must buy it.
Identity. Exactly.
I'm just going to pick a random food and be that girl, too. Let me find one.
Oh, start a trend, Samantha. Oh, God, don't do it. Wait. The whole episode is about how it gets out of your control.
It's bad.
You know, actually start like the latest iteration of like the trad wife, whatever the next evolution is.
It's gonna be very Korean, but I'm like, yeah, it ends up being real racist because it ends up being very Korean. I'm like, well, that went bad. That went awry. Happy 2024, everybody.
Oh no. Oh well. Well.
Anyway. On that note,
we have quite a lot more we can discuss at a later date. Thank you so much, Joey, for coming on. We always love having you.
Of course. Always love to join y'all. Love to get to explain weird internet stuff to you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Keeping us in the loop.
We need it. So thank you. Where can the good listeners find you, Joey?
You can find me on Instagram or the app that I'm still calling Twitter at Pat Not Pratt. That is PATTNOTPRATT. If you want to hear more of the work that I do, you can check out Afterlives, the Lailene Polanco story, which just finished up its first season. I also am an occasional guest host on There Are No Girls on the Internet / producer there with Bridget. If you want to hear more specifically weird internet news and internet culture stuff, definitely check out that show.
Yes. Yes, definitely check that out. Thank you again, as always, Joey, for doing all this research. And listeners, If you would like to contact us, you can. Our email is stephanie@momstuff.iheartmedia.com. We are on Twitter @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok @StuffWeNeverToldYou. We have a TeePublic store and we have a book you can get wherever you get your books. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey, who is here. Yay!
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.